Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thing I Love Most show with myself, Noel Vauban. Once again, we are loving Tottenham a little bit more than we were the week before. So it was an interesting game, which we're going to divulge and we're going to talk about very, very shortly. On the line with me this evening, I think it is now, I have Mr. Lee Curtin. Hello, Lee.
Evening.
He's got his robot voice back. Oh, God, here we go with his dodgy headset. And then we got Big Bad Don on the mic. Don, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you
Good
very much.
Stuff. So, Don, you went to the game, I believe?
Yes. Yes, I went into the into the enemy's den.
Into the hornet's nest, or just the empty crates, or just Scumsville, or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it. I mean, I was offered a ticket, but I couldn't get there in time, unfortunately, and it was way expensive. So but it was a. Well, I mean, let's start at the beginning. I think obviously the selection was a key one that we were talking about last week in terms of the fact that obviously Kyle Walker-Peters was injured. That right back slot looked like it was sort of going to be the contentious issue of the day, and it so turned out to be that as well. We mentioned that Alderweireld could potentially play there. We mentioned Dier. We mentioned Sissoko. But one person's name that we didn't mention playing right back was the person that did, which is Davinson Sanchez. He struggled, I think, is the kindest way to put it. He struggled a lot in the first half. His second half, he improved a little bit, but he struggled. Poch obviously didn't throw him under the bus, as he would never do, and that's fair enough. I respect that. But then he said he was one of the great performers on the day. It was like Eriksen, Winks, I can't remember who the other one was, and Sanchez, he actually like sort of picked out and said that he was one of the best, which I think was a little bit extreme because he was pretty much run ragged and he gave away some terrible position. And then if you looked at the sort of the game, the way it was panning out, that quite a lot of their attacks were coming down the wing, so therefore maybe it would have made sense to have Alderweireld on the right and then Sanchez back in a centre-back position because he's more used to being there centrally and dealing with those aerial threats. And then Alderweireld obviously plays right back for Belgium sometimes, so he's obviously got that in his locker. Sanchez just looked like he was completely out of his depth, and it could have cost us the game. Maybe it cost us 3 points. I don't know. So, Don, I'm going to go over to you first. Firstly, were you surprised to see his name in right back, and were you also pleased to see Vertonghen back in the team?
Well, as we got in there and we saw that the team was coming out and how they lined up, I just thought that at some point he's going to come back into the middle. I just thought, oh, maybe we're just trying this for a little while. Unlike you, though, I actually thought he played better in the first half than he did in the second. That's why I saw it. I think as the game wore on, it got worse. It got worse. Anytime that ball came down our right side, it wasn't a great feeling. So
that was the same throughout the game, though. That didn't change
I've
collectively played worse second half, I think.
You guys, you know me. I'm normally sort of, I've got a slight negative stance on my match reviews. But to be honest with you, I know he was bad, but I don't think he was as bad as you guys thought he was. I'm being real now. I think there were individual errors, and yes, they could have cost us multiple times, but for someone that doesn't play in that position, I thought he did okay. I did. I really did.
Okay. All right. Listen, this is a very much a free, you know, you can say what you want. You can say he was the best player on the pitch.
No, I'm not, definitely not saying that. No, I'm not saying that.
We're all friends here.
It was a baptism of fire for Davison. It was definitely was, but
do you not think then that Alderweireld playing right back would have not been as much as the baptism because he's used to playing there, and Sanchez would have then been central? They weren't much of a central threat, really. It was Lacazette obviously was there, but the main threat was coming down the wings from Pepe, so that was the threat to try and counter. So therefore, if Alderweireld was there, he's more mobile and he's better at distribution. He's more comfortable on the ball. Every time Sanchez got the ball, I was just like, oh my God. Like, I was just bricking it.
I think there was a couple of times where, especially in the second half, where he was just trying things and nothing was coming. You know, for someone that's alien to that position, I could see that his confidence was sort of, you know, was reducing with every moment in the second half. But I think he was really strong in the first half. I think there were times where the ball came over, you know, he saw the ball out, the players would try to, you know, try and kick him, but it didn't, you know, they didn't really get anywhere with that. Aubameyang tried a few things, and I think he stifled their attacks very much so in the first sort of 20-30 minutes. But as I said before, it gradually got worse as the game went on.
I think you're getting your words mixed up. I think when you say stifled, you meant started their attacks. Because if you look at some of the play, he definitely lost possession and it did lead to chances. But anyway, we're not Sanchez bashing here at all. Mine was more of a question of actually just like selection, because as we said, you know, it's not his position. He wasn't comfortable there. So it's frustrating that he was put there, because obviously there were other players that we think would have been more suited to that role. And he was definitely struggling out there. And that's not his fault. It's just that's his experience. That's the kind of player that he is. He's much more suited centrally. So it's just a frustration of the selection process, I think. Lee, what was your take on the matter? I know that you kept on sending me WhatsApps of head in hand and all sorts. So
I mean, Don was there, and he's got a kind of positive spin on it. I had my head in my hands. I was on the floor. I was behind the sofa. It was a struggle. It was a real struggle. I do question, one, why was Aurier on the bench? Two, why isn't Dyer got a look in? But I do get part of Potts thinking, and I'm going with the case of, I think he figured that they was going to go with that front three. I think he knew that they would have a bit of pace. And Sanchez on the sidelines, he'll give you that pace. You know, you've got Rose on the other side who will give you that pace. And I think that was the thinking. However, for all his strength and his pace, he's got no composure. I mean, even in the last couple of games playing through the centre, he still lacks composure. Physically strong, very quick. Positioning is bang average. And he just lacks composure. He's become a bit of a worry for me, actually, the way he started this season. I know we spent some good money on him, but I thought when we chucked him in, I'd never forget that kind of very early game against Liverpool. He arrived and we chucked him in. And he was bang on. He was absolutely solid, but he seems to have stagnated. He seems to have gone backwards a little bit. But like I said, we're not Sanchez bashing.
Is that because he's been in and out of team though? Is that like, you know?
Yeah, but so you could be in and out of the team, but you're still training in a certain environment every day. You're still training next to Toby. You're still training next to Jan. You know, you're having match. So yeah, he's not starting, or he didn't start at one point last season. But he started every game this season. He should be finding his feet. He played a fair part of the preseason as well. Jan came in, and it doesn't look like he's been away. And that's the sort of class. That's the sort of difference in class that you're kind of. I'm alluding to. What I will say at the back of it, because we're not Sanchez bashing, there's been a lot of KWP bashers. People who are just not sure about him. I'll tell you what, a whole lot of credit goes to him when you see the lack of struggle that he makes that position look. Because people try and get on KWP physically because of his size, but he's more composed than Sanchez on the ball. He wins more battles. And I get what Don's saying about the way he's seen the ball out of play and run it out for a goal kick sometimes, but it's when we had the ball and the possession he gave away. And we can easily trace back both of those goals. One Rose could go hand in hand with, but you could probably trace both of those back towards Sanchez giving the ball away poorly beforehand. So, yeah, it was a hard watch. It was a hard watch.
It was. So we did have Jan at the back, which was really nice to see. And I think that would have given the team a lift and just, you know, relaxed them a little bit at the back. We're obviously going to talk about the goals, but let's also talk about the whole sort of Lloris kicking out and that very sort of like weird setup that they tried to do, because I can't get my head around it. So basically, the two centre-backs come very, very tight. So therefore, they can't be encroached by the opposition players, because that's the new rules. They can't come in the box. So all they do is then Lloris kicks it to one of them. Then they run in the box. They then kick it back to Lloris, and then he boots it out the field. We don't have any presence up the field because a lot of our team is back. I just didn't, and Lloris is definitely not the best kicker. He's probably one of the worst goalkeeper kickers. What is going on? Can someone please tell me?
I was there, and it was the talk of the away section. Like, why are we doing that for every single goal kick?
It doesn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. In the end, it kind of...
I get it. You're playing out from the back.
Of course,
whole Barcelona style, split the centre-backs. Yeah, I completely get that. But when a team has got the high press like Arsenal did, and they're basically at your penalty area, then, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. We can't.
You do realise we scored our first goal from that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. But
which
obviously,
is really scary.
They did try to change it, and they did start lumping out of field, but it was still, they did try now and again to do it. And I just like, don't have the players to do that. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's really, really weird. So let's talk about the positives, I think, first, because it was good to see us attacking once again. It was good to see us getting some shots on target. And we obviously scored two goals. So the first one was a good goal. I think Lamella's shot was lucky in that Leno made a bit of a howler, to be fair. It wasn't the most powerful shot in the world. But then again, people do say if you do hit it across the keeper, then that gives your teammates a chance. So fair play to Lamella for doing that. He didn't try and get it on his left. So that was solid. It was obviously great play from Kane and Son. Sokratis completely effed it up for their side, which was great to see. And then obviously the penalty. I mean, what Xhaka's doing, I've no idea. Amazing for us. Son fouled once again. But credit has to go to Winks for winning that ball back as well down the left-hand side. I thought he was probably our best player on the day, to be fair. He was everywhere. And people say that he's like, oh, he just plays it sideways. But when Ndombele's not there and when Sissoko's playing a little bit higher, then he takes those games by the scruff of the neck, and he was everywhere. I thought he was brilliant.
Do you, I mean, obviously, forgetting the City game, the Villa and Newcastle games that we played, where, you know, the teams have come and sort of set up to defend against us, I think, you know, I'm not saying it's completely Winks' fault, but with teams like that, they're harder to break down, whereas, you know, Arsenal were giving it a go. And we saw the real Harry Winks. You know, I was, there were parts of his game that reminded me of his performance, or parts of his performance in the Champions League final. Because he has definitely got, I want to see more of that, you know, week in, week out, to really press, you know, turn the ball and pass it, you know, in the final thirds, because that's where we want it to be, in the final third. It was great to see.
It was. I mean, at the end of the day, he's a local boy, isn't he, as well? He's feisty. It's a derby. You would expect him to be at that level, you know, for him to be really, really up for it. And he was putting in some great challenges, and it was really, really good to see. I was impressed. So a couple of things to also mention. I mean, obviously, the most frustrating thing for me about the game was conceding that goal just before halftime, and the way we conceded it. It was like a flipping pinball game. It was like, it went everywhere. As you already alluded to, Lee, there was Sanchez was involved initially, then Rose could have cleared it. And it was just like, what are you doing? This is so, so crucial. And as it turned out, obviously, it was incredibly crucial. It could have gone even worse, because they could have easily got a winner, and then it would have just been absolute, you know, a catastrophe. But it was.
Do you remember once upon a time people go, that's Spursy, that is. That's really Spursy. What we'd done there, bearing in mind we'd been in that position before, was proper Spursy. Because you get 2-0 up at that place, and you want to go in at half-time 2-0 up. And there comes a time when it's not about keeping possession at the back and trying to be clever. It's about turning them around. You know, it's about putting it in row Z. It's about knocking it down to the corner flag at the other end. You've heard the stadium announcer tell you how long's left. You've seen the board on the side. You see the clock. Like, at some point, forget what you've done for 45, 46 minutes to get yourself in that position. Sometimes it just has to go. Get it down the other end and turn it around. Squeeze up the pitch a little bit. Get yourself in 2-0 at half time. You don't lose that game. You don't draw that game. You actually go on and you win that game. And that was, we've done that before. And that is so, it frustrates the hell out of me because I just like, come on, boys. And, you know, Rosie, it disappointed me because I thought he would bang it. I don't know if he thought that he was going to get pulled up on a handball. And it never went back to check.
Yeah, you could tell he was a little bit nervous. I agree with that.
He's got previous as well, isn't he? He's got previous.
Yeah. So I don't know if it changed his mindset of just banging it because it looked like he wanted to bang it. And then you get into the thinking where does he bang it and VAR comes into play? Or did he try and keep the game moving? I mean, it won't stop the process. They're going to call it back. So, but I don't think players are ready for it yet. So he looked very nervous about that. But then it did get to Sanchez, and Sanchez had a chance just to bang it down the line. He tried to go past Aubameyang, and it ended up being that free kick. And you're just like, oh, yeah, a little bit disappointing because we don't give that game away 2-0 at half time.
No, I agree. But I thought when they equalised, I thought we'd lost. I honestly thought we were going to lose because it didn't look like there was any way of us escaping out of their half or our half, as it were. Sorry. And it was just like last year all over again. So the fact that we did manage to come through it and had our chances to win it at the end there, obviously Sissoko, as we all know, is he ever going to score those goals? I mean, when the ball's going to him, it's just like anyone but. It's one of the most frustrating things in football that I've never experienced.
It's horrible.
And it's just like there was two, and I was like, Oh, it was just there. It would have been amazing. Like, it would have been so amazing. And I can't wait. He is going to hit one. But that was a good chance. And he just fell over.
I don't know if you guys felt this, but I felt as if we needed Moura at some point in that game. I really did. I felt that their defence needed stretching.
Yeah.
So were you surprised when he brought on Lo Celso?
Yeah, I was. If anything, actually, Lo Celso calmed the game down. When he came on, he sort of just calmed things down. It was a bit, you know, anything could have happened. And like you rightly pointed out, Noel, it's like at that point, I thought we were going to lose the game. So, you know, the ball's just was going back and forth. I thought Lo Celso was a good option to maybe just calm it down and get the draw. But earlier on in the game, I thought sort of 10, 15 minutes into the second half, Moura would have been a great option to bring on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you feel like that?
I think it was a frustrating one because you obviously Poch had already made some substitutions, so he didn't necessarily have everything there for him. And it was a choice of whether to go for it, which would have been the Moura decision, which could have definitely worked because defensively they were shocking and he's obviously got great pace. Or try and maintain possession because at that time we didn't really have much. And so Lo Celso, like you said, was a more of a calming influence that maybe just did slow the game down a little bit and maybe did like just cool them off. So it might have been the right thing to do. Hindsight's a wonderful thing. So final thing I want to talk about is the Kane penalty / dive at the end, because I feel he's getting a bad press for this. And I'm not saying that it wasn't intentional the way he put his body in front of him. But then if you look anywhere else around the pitch, it happens all the time. There was several incidents in the first half when Torreira was stood there and Sissoko came up to him behind him. He pretty much didn't even touch him. Torreira fell on the floor. He got a free kick. That's what happens all over the pitch now. And it's just like that standard for you to basically shield the ball. The defender will come behind you and you fall over. It happens every game. Tons of times. And it's just because it happened in the penalty area that the ref has thought that he's dived. He hasn't dived. He's felt contact and he's gone over. He's trying to shield the ball. He's stopping. He's allowed to put his body in the way of the defender. Why can't he do that? Like, he's shielding the ball. If it was the other way around, if the defender was trying to see the ball out of play and he just like basically just moved in front of the attacker, and the attacker came behind him, and the defender went down. I guarantee you, the defender will not get a free kick. I'm telling you.
I agree with you to a certain degree. I'm going to be real. I think he was looking for a penalty.
But that's part of the play, though.
And you're right. And if I'm going to... If there's anything that Harry needs to take from this, is he's got to make it look better than that. It wasn't...
It was a swan dive. The hands almost came together. It was like, you know, I get that.
Yeah.
But my point is that he's well within his rights to put his body between the player and the ball. That's football. He's shielding the ball. He feels contact. He goes over. Like I said, if it was the other way around, if it was a defender shielding the ball, I'm telling you, it would have been a free kick the other way around.
I take both points. I'll take what Don's saying as well. And I just think he probably, you're absolutely right, Noel. He's allowed to do what he done. But I think he went too early because he tried to wrap his legs in between.
Yeah.
Mate, he's so stupid. He should have just stepped across him because he would have just piled into the back of him anyway. And then you give the ref a lot harder decision to make. And he went with his legs, so he'd already leant forward. And that was the problem. But picking up on your point, Noel, just there, Sonny got smashed from behind about three times in the middle of the pitch and got nothing for it. So the ref was having a bit of a... I feel Sonny gets a bit of a... I think the refs have been a bit harsh on him in recent times as well, especially towards the end of last season. And I know he's only just returned. But I think, yeah, I think with him and Kane, I think they're going to have to be wiped out properly before they get anything this season.
Well, the ref did book Xhaka until like the 92nd minute. I mean...
How did he not get booked for the penalty?
It was like a scissor kick. For the floor.
How did he not get booked for that penalty?
I have no idea. It came up on Flash Scores, actually. It said that he'd been booked when he hadn't, and then it went away because they must have thought it's obviously going to be a booking. Yeah. They've just missed it.
And then he went off and made another 7 fouls before he got booked. So, unbelievable. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of positives to take from that game.
At the end of the day, we've been to the Etihad and we've been to the empty crates and we've come away with two draws. It could have been a lot worse. You know, if we get all of these away games out of the way before like February, then we pretty much only got Chelsea away towards the end of the season out of the top six. And, you know, in theory at home, we should perform. So if we're in a decent position come January, February, then it's going to be positive. And we will look upon these results as important because, you know, they need the points as well as us. So, you know, it's good. It was obviously frustrating to in any match to be winning 2-0 and to not win the game. It's obviously frustrating. I still love watching Kane's shot. It was such an amazing shot. They hit the post. That was just
that would have been unbelievable.
But it is what it is. And I think, you know, there's not going to be many teams that are going to go there and I don't know, come away with a draw. I think they're good at home. They're very, very attacking, but defensively they are suspect. And so, you know, you would fancy other teams going there and getting a few goals. So we shall see anyway. But no, I think overall it was a decent performance and I think we should be pretty happy.
No plan that is ours. No plan that is ours. Fuck off, back to Wales. No plan that is ours.
So we had the draw for the Champions League group stages last week, which was very exciting, and it was good to see us in that pot two, and it was a good draw for us. You know, we normally in the past few years have got harder draws, which I don't know if that's going to come back to bite us on the arse, but I think it was a reasonable draw. To be honest, I don't know massively much about Olympiacos or Red Star in terms of their performance. I remember Red Star, I think, got a result against Liverpool last season. And I think it's going to be quite a tough place to go to because their fans are a little bit crazy. And even though I've just booked tickets to go, so it's going to be fun. So overall, I think we should be happy. And I think for the fans, it's obviously quite nice because it's three grounds that we've not been to. So Munich's been on the list for ages for people because we've had drawn Dortmund a few times and keep on going back there. And now obviously we can actually go for an away day in Munich, which should be really, really good. So overall, Lee, were you happy with the draw? Are you confident of progressing?
Yeah, I thought it was a decent draw. I mean, you always kind of want it as easy as possible, but let's face it, you know, you've got to beat the best teams at some point. So I when it came out, I would have said I would have definitely taken that. And I looked at it, I think best case scenario, well, obviously it'd be max points, but looking at it, I think 14 points. Worst case scenario, take 12 points. And that's definitely plenty to get you through. So, I think we turn up. I think we just turn up in Europe. So hopefully we won't give ourselves or give everybody else that head start like we did last season. There's no need for that this time around. So let's just do it properly and enjoy the journey this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, obviously, I mean, we are the reigning Audi Cup holders. So we've been there before in their backyard and we roughed them up. So, you know, they're going to be so scared. No, I'm only joking. Obviously, it was pre-season and they actually had a lot of players that didn't come on into the second half. But they're a quality team. Obviously, they've recently signed Coutinho on loan as well. But that's what we want. You know, we want to play the best teams. And we are dining at that table now. And I think that's clear to see. Even if we can't beat Newcastle at home and we lose to Newcastle at home, doesn't mean that we can't go to Munich and win. That's just how football is. Do you know what I mean? It's just incredibly weird. And we do get ourselves up for these games. And we do play better against teams that come at us. It's just the way we are. It's the way our team seems to perform. So I'm really, really excited about those games. I think they're going to be good. Don, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely excited about it. On Munich, I think that them being obviously the pot one team, I feel as if they're going through a transition. You guys may recall, you know, on seasons gone past where they used to just destroy Arsenal. You know, fours and fives going past them at their stadium, and I think they might have even repeated that at the Emirates as well in one of the seasons for the Champions League. And I feel as if that, you know, some of those players are kind of, well, a lot of those players are, I'll say, past their sell-by date, but you know, they're not as dominant as they used to be within that team.
Yeah, definitely.
So that, you know, there's a sprinkle of youth in there. With the experience in there, I'm not saying we'll go there and smash them, but I think they're not as dominant as they have been. So definitely in with a chance of getting a result, I believe there. And as Lee pointed out, I think, you know, best case scenario 14, worst case scenario is 12. But it's kind of strange because I feel as if we've had harder groups and we've got three. So. I'm not saying it doesn't matter who we get, but we'll see what happens because the group where we had Monaco, I believe, and some other groups, we unfortunately didn't get through to the knockout stages. That was deemed an easy group, and we didn't get through. So
I think we were. There was still a lot of inexperience at that time. I think that was one of our first campaigns. I think we're a much different animal now, and I think. Yeah, I think we should be confident. I mean, Olympiacos had to qualify. They were second in their Greek league last year and they had to qualify through the qualifications for the Champions League in terms of like the qualifications round as opposed to straight in there. So we should be happy to go there. And then, as I said, the whole Red Star thing, I don't know much about them, to be honest, but it's going to be a fun away day. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes on. So a couple of bits of transfer news. We had, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, I think there's like still 3 hours to go until the Spanish and the French transfer windows close, but at the moment Eriksen is still a Tottenham player, so let's hope that continues for the next few hours. I say a few weeks ago we didn't necessarily think that was necessarily going to be the case, or we weren't sure, so I think, and obviously he wasn't necessarily sure, Poch wasn't sure, so It's been annoying, to say the least. So I think having that settled now and pretty much having our squad settled as the same from last year, apart from Trippier, is in a good position because obviously we had Toby potentially leaving, Eriksen talk of leaving, and that hasn't happened. Marcus Edwards has left the club today. He has gone to Vitória, which you just pointed out, Don, off air, have got Arsenal in the Europa League, so that could be well good for us and for him if he can smash them up. And Llorente has gone to Napoli. There was talk of him potentially still coming to us, but I think Troy Parrott has basically stepped up. I think he's been training really well, and I think he's going to be in that Champions League squad. Well, I hope he will be, and I think he's going to be called upon to play some games this year, and I think it's really exciting. I think we should be really excited about that. Now, it is obviously International Week this week, so there are no Premier League games. But we have been drawn against Colchester away in the League Cup. 1,600 tickets as well was available, which I thought was quite impressive. So that's going to be a good game. Obviously, a local derby as such, you know, it's only not too far from Essex. It's not too far in Essex. So that should be a really good game if you're going to get yourself down there. I do hope that goes well. So it is the International Week. So we don't have a game to preview this week, but we are going to preview the Crystal Palace game, which is the next league game that we have at home on Saturday 14th of September. So Lee, you're turning into a bit of a soothsayer this season. Like, what the hell? He pulled out another 2-2 prediction which came in, and you know, I'm starting to get slightly impressed. So let's just see. So Palace have been an interesting one this season. One of the favourites to go down, I would have thought, probably before the season started. Zaha stayed, but defensively they're reasonably solid, but they just seem to not have much goals up front. They went and had a blinding result at Old Trafford the other week, and then they had quite a gritty win over Villa at the weekend. So it should be hopefully a nice game, but it's just my fear is that it's going to be Newcastle Villa Mark II as well, in terms of you're just going to have those players behind the ball, and it's going to be up to us to try and break them down, and we seem to be struggling to do that. So maybe if we get an early goal, that will help. Maybe he will play with wing backs, but he doesn't seem like he wants to do that anymore. So I think it's going to be an interesting one to try and create that space to get that goal. Maybe Lo Celso is going to start and might give him a slightly different dimension. I don't know. It'll be interesting one to see if the team is if there are no other injuries, or, and if Dele Alli does come back fully fit, would you start with Alli, Dom?
For sure. I think I saw enough in the Arsenal game to think that he's pretty much there. He's ready to start a game, I believe. What that means for other members of the team, I don't know, but you would think with all those options that are coming back into the team, we should be definitely ready for Palace. And I am normally sort of the negative one with predictions, but I truly believe that we've turned a corner with the Arsenal. The Arsenal game was the game that we needed. The players needed it. And we've seen, you know, it wasn't a 90-minute performance, but there were definitely, you know, there was a good half an hour at the beginning of that game that showed me as a fan and the rest of the fans that we have definitely, you know, we can press, we can forward pass, we don't have to do sideways. I mean, it helps when the opposition are coming at you, of course, but I think we've turned a corner now, and I think we're going to do them pretty badly, actually. I think we're going to, I honestly think that we're going to
do
like
them pretty badly. This isn't a flipping prison documentary. Jesus, yeah. We're going to do them pretty badly. We're going to slice them up. They won't be coming to N17 again soon.
We'll destroy them for sure, definitely. There'll be a few goals that we can put past them. This is the type of game that I think that we could have it sewn up within first 45, and Troy Parrott could, you know, he could get 20 minutes at the end.
I would love him to be on the bench. But do you think he's going to put him on the bench? If we've got a full squad, we've then got Lamela, Lo Celso, Moura, Son, Eriksen, Alli. There's not enough space for them on the bench. And well, look, plus Parrott.
You've got to think of where some of the internationals are going to play football. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying Lamela's in the current Argentinian squad, but maybe Lo Celso may be in there. Sanchez might be on international duty. So there could be space for him. You know, These players, you don't know when how they come back and what time they come back. So rather than risk him, he might put Troy Parrott on there.
So, prediction-wise then, you said there's going to be a couple of goals. You said we're going to kill them. There's all sorts of descriptions. What is your actual prediction?
My prediction is 4-0 to Tottenham.
Whoa. Man alive. okay.
Yeah, 4-0, right. Mate.
Mate, good. I predicted 5-0 against Newcastle. Obviously, that went horrendously wrong. But that's the thing. If you can get an early goal and Palace have to come out, then... But they're tight games against Palace. We haven't had a big win against Palace for quite a while. Like, I can't remember last year. I think it was it Sonny scored a goal and it was 1-0? And then the one before that, I think Sonny scored... I think the last five or six have been 1-0 wins. And I think the only one that we lost was the cup match, if memory serves me correctly, when Carl Walker-Peters was playing left wing back and it was a bit of a horror show and Danny Rose... Oh, no, Carl Walker-Peters handballed it. That was it. So, Lee, are you of an equally positive mindset regarding the game?
Well, I've just got to keep reminding myself that Don thought Sanchez was decent on Sunday. So
I think we all know that he's got a nice batch of high grade coming on. You know, I can see him on Skype and the room is just really smoky. He's wearing a sombrero.
It's the summer salad. I think, look, they line up with a 4-5-1. So they're going to come the way Villa did and Newcastle did. But funnily enough and scarily enough, I'm in a little bit of agreement with Don where I think we see Ali. I think Ali's ready to go. I think it might be at the cost of a Lamella if you're looking at our current lineup. Transfer window closes tonight. Eriksen's still here. If it stays like that, I think you just see a proper professional cracking on with his job. I mean, he cracked a smile yesterday, Eriksen. Haven't seen one of them for a bloody long time. But he cracked one. I think you go with Eriksen and Ali and Son behind Kane. And do you know what? If we draw them in and you've got Sonny starting to move the way he was yesterday, he just looked like he was not quite 100% Sonny, but 90% and still gave Arsenal a torrid at times. And that was so good to see because you can see he's still got another gear to hit. So I'm looking at it and I'm thinking a 2-1 to a 3-1. I'm going to go 3-1.
Okay. All right, so you're not going for a clean sheet. You still think we're a bit dodge.
We can't help ourselves. We'll be 2-0 up, they'll score, and everyone will be holding on to their seats, and bang, we'll finish it off. Job done.
Okay. I mean, I don't like following you, but I think 3-1's probably a good shout. So I'm going to actually go 2-0, just to be annoying. Yeah, I think we are shaky, but I've got a feeling we're going to dominate a possession. It might be tight, but I think we'll probably bag one first half and then we'll grab another one second half. So I think, 2-0 for me is a good scoreline. All right, good stuff. So it's time to talk about the Fantasy League TTILM Show League. So Soy Mustafa, who's one of our Spurs fans DSI group, he is up into the lead. Noel Valbon, you may recognise his name, has gone falling down the league massively. He's down in 34th place now after a shocking performance. I think I made about 5 transfers as well. It was not good. Tom Stanford is in 3rd place, one of my school friends. So hi, Tom. Good to have you up there. Big up the Fortismere school crew. And then Delhi Belly FC, James Smith, is down into 2nd currently. So if you do want to check that out, it's the TTILM Show League. We have the link on our Facebook page and it's been on our Instagram page as well. So we are the thing I love most show. Thank you very much for watching and listening, even though you haven't been watching. Thank you very much for listening. Once again, we are TTILM Show on Twitter, on Instagram, The Thing I Love Most Show on Facebook, and we do occasionally do YouTube videos as well, so we have a channel there as well. Please do share the show. We're up to about 500 regular listeners now, which is really, really good. It's grown just from last season, and it's been really, really good to have so many of you so interested. We do answer questions now and again, so if there's anything in particular that you'd like us to talk about, then please do send away. And if you want to get involved in the show, if you'd like to actually be a guest alongside Lee and Don and all of the other people that we have on the show, you'd be more than welcome to do so. At the moment, all we're doing is literally recording via Skype. So it's very, very simple. And it's always nice to have a different opinion as opposed to these guys. So good stuff. But thank you very much, Don. Good to see your face. I'm glad you had a nice time on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of that summer salad / joint. Doobie, Jay, spliff, blunt, whatever you want to call it. Lee, always a pleasure, buddy, and we'll catch you guys soon. So enjoy the rest of your week. Hopefully all of our players come back from international breaks with no injuries, and we have a cracking results against Crystal Palace. And once again, come on, you Spurs.